Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Tonight we have a psychological profile of someone who went out in a boom, James Yu. Fascinating guy, a fascinating case of an explosion in which he only hurt himself, he only killed himself, apparently. There doesn't seem to be major injuries on the side of the policeman, but a guy in Arlington, an Asian guy, blew his whole house up in a way that seems to be based on an accumulation of explosive gas. It doesn't seem like an explosion from C4, dynamite, that kind of stuff. It seems like an explosion from a house that was filled with propane or natural gas. And I'm here tonight to tell you that James Yu was a schizophrenic, high-functioning, super high IQ schizophrenic who may not have annoyed anyone and may not have caused any explosion if we were in a more tolerant society. If we were in a society that doesn't medically kidnap these people, this affair, the suicide bombing of James Yu could have been avoided. This was not an aggressive guy. And in fact, even in the way he goes, he only killed himself. With his degree of intelligence, he could have easily transformed this house into a trap that could have killed a dozen policemen. He didn't do this. And this guy was medically kidnapped in 2015. And he couldn't get justice for this medical kidnapping. So this is another case where we see the whole Britney Spears trend of people being awakened at medical kidnapping, probate courts, and what they do. And this is a clear example of a guy who had accumulated frustrations and paranoia, some of it non-factual, but all built around a fact, which is that leftist states, especially leftist states, but all states in the US, allow psychiatrists to kidnap people. And they often do so on false grounds and collaboration with false allegations from the family. And this guy, all he was asking for is to be left alone and to go on with his paranoid lifestyle. And if he was left alone, my bet is this guy, if he had justice or if he never was medically kidnapped, this guy wouldn't have gone in a blast like this. I think he was the victim of true legal unfairness, and that we are playing with fire when we build up these histories of oppression against schizophrenic people, because you have a bunch of people who are extremely capable and who can prepare a way to go that can hurt a lot of people if they want. New guy says, what? Leave people alone and they'll be fine? Ridiculous. I believe you're sarcastic, but I mean, this is the whole principle of American society as it was intended. But it is no more the principles by which we live. Now, everywhere across the US, medical kidnapping is just part of the practice. And you don't have rights if you stand in front of a psychiatrist. If you want to have medical rights, you better stand in front of a general practitioner, because if you stand in front of a psychiatrist, he can literally kidnap you. That's not to say that all psychiatrists are bad. There are some good people in the profession. But these psychiatrists in psychiatric ward who are making a business out of trusting the allegations of the family against people, The whole statutory structure of medical takeover of rights must be completely abolished. And this is what we should learn from James Yu. John Drake says, I said Max Kaiser was reporting the UAE was putting $500 billion into BTC. I made a mistake. It is Qatar. Okay, well, Qatar, UAE, same thing. Same difference. I don't know, that came to mind as an expression. I was so enthusiastic about the rise of Bitcoin today, 44.1k. Holy shit. Yesterday we were speculating about 42K being a local top and perhaps it would go down. But I think people are already in it. We're already in the bull run. As I was explaining to, there's someone who's very well known on YouTube who I'm his Bitcoin counselor. And I won't say who it is because I think you can ask for private counsel from me without me, you know, bragging about it on the public space. But there's a very big YouTuber who I've always counseled, when do you buy Bitcoin? Because he's worried about the sustainability of his channel and he's always wanting to know, how do I make money? And so, yeah, he was thanking me today because I told him to buy at 16K and he put a lot of money in it. And he was like, wow, Jeff, thank you. That was the good entry point, 16K. Today, I was so enthusiastic. I bought myself a piece of art, the CoinKite Block Clock Mini, a configurable paper-like display, although it's not papers that are shifting, but it feels and looks like those classic displays of shifting rotational papers, you know, where the number is not totally aligned in the middle, and that's kind of cute. And yeah, some people were worried, can it display a million? Because one day Bitcoin will be up to a million. But yeah, you can use all of the squares for numbers. And you can display at the top. It's all configurable, so you can write your own script. Yeah, it's e-ink. That's what they call it. It's like the Amazon Kindle. You can write the market price of Bitcoin here on the top, and you can use each of the square to represent numbers. So yes, it can display up to Bitcoin at 9,999.999 value. DK Shadow says, when it's 1 million, I'm sure you have the money to buy a new one. Lol. Yeah, no problem. I'll pay 10 times the price. If my problem in life is that my Bitcoin clock doesn't display above 9 million, it will be fine. It will be fine. John Drake says, JF is cheap. He won't want to. No. If Bitcoin is at $9,999,999, I'm fine. I will buy another clock. I'm sure they will make another. I'm sure they will have a little script where you can put two numbers on that screen, or you can put a period, or you can express it in Ks, like 1K, that would be 1,000. 10K, that would be 10,000. You have other problems on your hand if Bitcoin is at 9 million. 9 million value. The problem of thinking about what you'll do with all this money. Villains through modern eyes says, unethical sales practices become ethical when it funds your Bitcoin wallet. I'm not sure what that means. do you mean it's okay to lie to get more Bitcoin? I'm not for, I don't think that this is how most Bitcoiners approach it. I think to the contrary, Bitcoin comes with a discipline of property, respect, fairness, anti-fraud attitudes, etc. Yeah, there was also the Block Clock Micro. So that one is at $200, but it's very small. This is smaller than a can of Pepsi. I was like, and you know, the display is just a single screen display. I was like, okay, kind of cute at $200, but at $400, you have the 30 centimeter wide Block Clock Mini. That is more within what I'm looking for. New guy says, cock block what? It's the clock block, the block clock. The block clock is a tracker of Bitcoin blocks. Dino Logovic says, only JF thinks cans of Pepsi are smart. Like, I need my Bitcoin clock to I need my Bitcoin clock to be longer than what I can drink in Pepsi cans during the day. Oh my God. This will be my argument against the morality of surrogacy. I published this clip yesterday to announce my argument in advance to Fabian Liberty. So my argument against an evolutionary argument that I described yesterday against surrogacy. I, hypocrite, is warning me. Good luck. Get ready for lots of Fedora tipping and incorrectly calling out fallacies. Oh my God, is that what I'm going to be faced with Fabian Liberty? Anyways, Paleo Chris Kahn was saying you have to respect JF. He is the only one in the business who will just lay out his full argument, super confident that no matter how many weeks you have to prepare, it's still going to be my argument, and there's not going to be a counter to it. I'm absolutely certain of this. I've done this again and again in the business enough to know that people just don't have arguments. They are free-flowing talkers. They just beep, 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 beep. They are experts at just keeping the flow of the conversation with their feelings. And they don't address rationally the opponent. I don't know if it's going to be different with Fabian Liberty, but in 99% of the cases, debaters just beep, beep, beep. They tweet. They don't debate, they tweet. They tweet and they entertain the conversation. Silver Spider says, JF should bring a Fedora to the debate. Perhaps that would be an intimidation tactic. It's rare that I do costumes, but sometimes, you know, in the debate business, it's warranted. We need to talk about James Yu, and this will be the main theme tonight. James Yu, a schizoid personality, but who was very high functioning and who exploded yesterday, apparently exploded in his own house, bothering no one, but being targeted by the police for an investigation and seeing the government close in on him, blew himself up, apparently, or perhaps the police, through their shotguns, blew an existing accumulation of gas in that house. And people have heard resonating through Arlington, close to Washington, D.C. People have heard this massive explosion, which we have on video. I mean, this is quite impressive how a two-story house is about to just blow up in this video. Look at this. So I want to say how this explosion is the result of an unfit society as to how we treat people with medical disorders, psychiatric disorders, especially schizophrenic. John Drake says, did he make it? He's dead. They say that they have found remains that they believe is from James Yu from the explosion. And so it seems that he was alone in the house and died alone in this explosion while the SWAT police was around the house closing in. But apparently they were not close enough to have been injured seriously by the explosion. So we have two or three minor injuries on the side of the police, and that's it. So he has single-handedly killed himself. And when you look at the features of the explosions, it's worth noting that it's a single blast explosion. Boom. There's no secondary explosion. There's no issue for the fire. There seems to be something else, but it could be a flash of light. It doesn't seem like it's an explosion, really. So, flash of light, but the explosion goes as a single boom. No trouble accessing the material. So it's not like there were barrels of explosives in there that were exploding one after the other. No secondary explosion. And you can see the blast seems to encompass the full house and expand the gas into totally destroying the house. You can see the focus of the original explosion is here. But within an instant, the whole house blows up and crumbles. And that seems like almost there was an accumulation of some gas. And it could be propane, it could be tanks of fuel, it could be natural gas accumulation a la Fight Club. But one of these options, a very combustible substance that can all light up in a single instant and that is all accessible, not particularly stored safely, probably released intentionally in the house. And who set it off? We have to mention that the police at the moment of the explosions are shooting with shotguns into the windows. They are shooting with shotguns into the windows to try to get access to the house, to try to get to speak with James Yu. And so it's very possible that the initiation would not have been produced by James Yu himself. It could have been a spark from a shotgun of the police who were just trying to resolve the situation where it was a siege, basically. A siege of James Yu and trying to reason with him and trying to get him to get out so that they can exert their search warrant. A search warrant that was obtained following a day where James Yu has been sending flares into the air from his house. And we have the video of this. James Yu spent the day sending about, it seems to be more than 20 flares like this from his house. Fascinating. A man who is calling, sending a signal, kind of expecting something to happen. And it is because the sending of these flares that the police had their attention drawn toward the James Yu residence and got the search warrant to go see what was wrong with him so that he would shoot flares like this in the sky. Here's one example of the flare. So he was sending flares up like this. When the police arrived at his home, they heard more serious shooting, as if he perhaps had a weapon inside and was shooting from the inside of his house. It's not clear what he was trying to shoot or what he was shooting, but that is where the police responded with shotguns toward the windows to try to penetrate the home or have access to it. And at the moment where they were attempting to enter or planning to enter, we had the final explosion during the evening, this one. And notice that after the single boom, there is no remnant of explosive material or fuel burning. So that is typical of gaseous substances exploding, because as soon as the gas explodes and all of it is reachable for a flame at the moment of the explosion, there's no leftover. There's nothing burning at the heart, which you will see in solid explosives, which you will see in fuels that may be stored in barrels and not all of the barrels explode. You will often see remnants of fire at the focus of the explosion, but here you see nothing. Simeon says, that shit leveled that home. Yes, and so people have started exploring the social media of James Yu, and it seems that this guy had had issues with the government, had been a security worker working for high security levels of corporate operations, was the director of security of some corporation at some point in line with the US government. And eventually, he seemed to have a lot of money. His family had plenty of money. He was coordinating the ownage of the ownership of various residences that his parents had left to him and to his sister. So he was comfortable enough to live and to buy himself these houses. And he was living in that house, which he had paid for. And for years, he appears to have accumulated complaints against his family, against the government, against medical kidnapping, and against the election of various presidents, which he interprets as having put into place some kind of conspiracy to get at him. He points to the election of Barack Obama. He points to the various, the Mueller investigation, for instance. He seems to be annoyed by it. It seems that he interprets the Mueller investigation as being against him. He had the misunderstandings of various media that is typical of schizophrenics, where they listen to a media story that talks about something totally different, not them. But the media story says something, and they interpret it as if it's targeting them. And there was a point at which in a CNN report he hears something said about 788 or something, and then in the rest of the sentence 788, and in that story the journalist ended up saying and he was planning to kill himself at that moment. And James Yu thought that this was CNN talking about him as a schizophrenic. And so he somehow interpreted the 788 as the 88 number for him means something very important. I haven't fully understood what it is, but he often comes back to it. It's kind of a pointer of not only him, but of the possibility that he may eventually kill himself. The 88 signifies this. And he's made that association because he considers that CNN, kind of by saying the word 88 in a sentence and then finishing the sentence of a totally different story that wasn't related to him, but because they said at the end of that sentence, and he was planning to kill himself, he associated the word 88 with me. And oh my God, the elites, the kind of elites of this world want to frame me into a suicide. And as often happens in schizophrenia, the thing that they are the most scared of, the paranoia that they think is being done against them, they will eventually make it happen. And James Yu here made the thing happen that he was scared of, which is he was thinking that CNN was planning or announcing that he would be framed into a suicide. And he just committed that suicide yesterday. I think that the superficial coverage is not super fair, because the right wing is very quick at going at, oh, he's a far leftist that posts anti-white hatred and quotes from Noam Chomsky. He accused his neighbors of being spies on social media 3 days ago. He had a previous encounter with the FBI. He filed countless frivolous lawsuits against his own sister and wife. I disagree that they were frivolous. I disagree. Those statements are true, but we should not frame or understand James Yu as merely a leftist activist. He was first and foremost a schizophrenic who was at times influenced by the racial talk of the left, definitely. But I believe that his lawsuits were not frivolous, and I've read one in full, and I believe that James Yu has had his medical rights violated. I believe that he was medically kidnapped. I believe that the processes for medical kidnapping in these leftist states particularly, but everywhere in the US really, are truly violations of liberty and true violations of constitutional rights, even in, even if you respect the law, because the law is biased here. He was the former head of global security at the U.S. government's Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States. I will take you through these various segments of James Yu's life, and I hope to communicate to you a more complex story than just a leftist who was inspired by Noam Chomsky. He was a complex, high-functioning schizophrenic, and if you had left this guy alone. And this is where it's frustrating. We do not have a mechanism to count the number of people like this who will end up committing violence or committing suicide as a result of the incompetence of the medical system and of the medical abuses that happen under probate law. There's no one who's going to pay the price for mishandling this man's liberty. There's no one who will pay the price for the lies that were told about this man, which led his own wife and his sister to conspire, yes, to get him into a hospital. And we must totally abolish those rights of psychiatrists and wives and family members to kidnap people, because this is a response to an injustice that was committed in 2015, the explosion that happened yesterday. I am fairly confident of this, that if you didn't have the medical kidnapping of 2015, this guy would have kept living his life as a paranoid individual with his theories, but with a feeling that he was not targeted. I believe that his feelings that he was targeted may have been psychologically amplified by his schizophrenia, but I believe they were grounded in truth. And there is a big issue with the medical sector, and it happened to people in our audience. I was talking to a guy recently who wanted counseling, and there is a big issue with the medical sector not able to distinguish real persecution from delusions of persecution. Now, here's a guy in which the two happened. That complicates the thing, right? Because it's not because you're paranoid about persecution that anything you say about persecution didn't happen. I think that his story that he was medically persecuted is correct. And there is a lot of elements in there. There's a lot of lies that were told about this guy to get him forced into a psychiatry hospital, forced under medications he didn't want to take. And I don't see in these complaints, I can see some moments where he's schizophrenic when he talks about the president of, and Barack Obama got elected and then this happened. It's like, well, that's unrelated, right? The fact that Barack Obama was elected in 2008 has nothing to do with your medical kidnapping of 2015. But if you filter out the schizophrenia and the paranoid beliefs, in the end, this guy got forced against his will to be in a place to be sedated, to lose his memory of the events, to not have access to any phone to communicate for help outside. He has been isolated. He has been deprived of rights. It has stemmed from a conspiracy between his sister and his wife. This happened. I know the difference between the delusions of a schizophrenic and something that they report as fact and that has actually happened. And this looks as fact to me. Let's have a look. So he tells a very complicated story dating back from his father, who was South Korean, who was an advisor to South Korean presidential candidate Kim Dae-jung in the 70s. His father passed away early in the 90s, and then he kept on going with life with his mother and his sister. he presents himself as having very often taken the side of his sister, as having developed a very respectful relationship. He has been handling a lot of money for his family and was always honest about it. So here's a guy who was betrayed by some people to whom he was extremely generous. Because when he gets the inheritance, he could have run with the money. But he's always taken good care of his sister. They had deals that were just not even signed. They were oral deals of, oh yeah, you're going to handle all this property for years, all this money, and I'll talk to you again when I need some. And we'll split it, we'll share it in the split fairly, but later. And his sister had always trusted him to do this after the inheritance stemming from, I believe, the death of his mother. Now, he's faced with a sister, Aileen, who he believes has authored or co-authored a book called When Parents Die, Learning to Live with the Loss of a Parent. James Yu believed that his sister has published this book without ever revealing it to him. This could be a schizophrenic belief, or it could be real. Because here's his reasoning. The book is printed as written by Rebecca Abrams. Rebecca Abrams asserts the moral right to be identified as the author of this work in 1988. The book has copyright years 1992, 1995, 1999, and 2013. The book's copyright years coincide with plaintiff's major life events: 1992, the death of plaintiff's mother; 1995, plaintiff resigning from plaintiff's job due to being overwhelmed with grief and dealing with parents passing without a will. Aileen gave a copy of the book, second edition, to the plaintiff years ago. Plaintiff read the book in its entirety in 2016. Plaintiff believes that the book contains many direct and indirect euphemisms and vignettes correlated to plaintiff, mother, father, Stephanie. So basically, he has this book given to him by his sister. And he's like, hey, all of the events here, this is our life. I recognize my life in this. This can be a total paranoid schizophrenic inventing this. Because schizophrenic, you give them two or three details that fit, and they're like, okay, that's your book. I know you wrote it in secret. I know you are Rebecca. You are the writer of this book, whatever her fake name was. So I don't know what to tell you about this, but that's just interesting to note. There are times where you don't get to know the truth with schizophrenics, and you have to accept this in your evaluation. Jan sends a super chat. He says, I was reading up on plague and AIDS. Can you elaborate on how gene modification would make humanity more fragile against novel viruses? I can see both embryo selection and CRISPR usage leading to sickle cell anemia being eradicated, for example, which would have reduced natural immunity against AIDS. Exactly. The problem of genetic modification is multifold. But here's one path. All of life is in trade-offs. And when we start improving the human phenotype, when we start saying, oh, I have found a gene that improves, that reduces your odds of having Alzheimer by 90%. Why wouldn't you want that gene? And so you give that to everyone, but you haven't realized this gene, there was a reason it didn't get naturally selected out of the population. And the reason is the trade-off. Maybe life had made a trade-off here. Maybe life was accepting, I'm going to get more Alzheimer's, but I don't care because I get this other feature that is so important that I might as well keep that gene. So these trade-offs, we will be totally blind to them, because we'll be faced with a lack of statistical knowledge about the destination of the gene modification, because we'll be modifying genes that perhaps the majority of the people have, and we'll be kicking them out. And we'll be losing things that were there for a reason, but we just didn't know the reason. There is also the convergence effect. The convergence effect is the fact that the more you make people similar, the more they have their physiology has the same blind spots. So if you make the immune system, what from your perspective, from 2023, you may think, oh, well, these genes are the good genes to have a good immune system. But suddenly make everyone having these genes, and suddenly the next virus that shows up is exploiting a weakness of this particular version of the human immune system that you've just implemented in everyone. So diversity is an insurance, is a genetic insurance. And the less diversity you have, the more blind spots you're opening for nature to exploit. And nature will just find it like this. It's not even going to be hard for viruses to find the weakness of the next level that you throw at them. But for us, it's going to be an enormous maze. So I would say those two concerns are the two first that comes. Then you have a third concern, which is, if you're talking about deep into the phenotypic revolution, humans' life is not even important anymore. Human life is only important to the extent that it serves the central entity determining their genes. And at that point, you may have a scenario in which decisions of trade-off are made not even to keep more people alive or to keep more people in a better state, but you might have a central entity that decides, hey, my way of surviving is like an R strategy. I make a lot of humans because I know I'm going to lose a lot of these humans to various viruses attack. But I'm okay because I make 10 times more humans than the neighbors. And when you reach that point, then it's not merely the small effect that I listed one and two. Now it's like you don't even evolve to have a good immune system. You evolve against it. Alimer says, JF has been pumping BTC so he can sell high and reinvest in a Tim Pool Cove Fifi store and skateboard emporium franchise. I'm sure of it. Those are not good vehicles of investment, Alimer. If I was to do this, please shoot me in the head. If I'm to become so cognitively deprived as I'm investing in Tim Pool adventures of skateboarding and punkery, please kill me. I choose death over this. Send me to hell now. Okay, so we have here long, long story. You know, in his complaint, he mentions Robert Mueller, appointed director of the FBI in 2001. So this guy has a whole construct, James Yu, has a whole construct that the whole George Bush being elected 43rd president of the U.S., up to all of the FBI directors, up to Obama in 2008, that all of this leads to his persecution by the state. Okay, perhaps it is some degree of schizophrenia in these statements. And here he is at a kind of meeting with family, Stephanie Yu, his sister, James Yu right here. He's with the Frasca. He's with an inspector of the Monroe County Police Department, Patricia Frasca's daughter, John Campana, and some picture of the Haas. Am I understanding this correctly, that he is showing a picture of S. Amoroso's photo from plaintiff's wedding reception, but it is a picture of her standing up and showing her buttocks. Anyways, I don't understand this one. So he has various communications with his family in email, and he just shows a case that he's always been caring for everyone well. He's never mistreated his sister. In other words, he's trying to make the case that it was really a betrayal of his trust what his sister did when he was medically kidnapped, because she participated to the kidnapping. His wife and his sister made false statements about him, claiming that he was suicidal. And he says, "I am not suicidal. I have never expressed any suicidal ideation." And he says they told the hospital that he had created a written note of his suicidal intent. And this guy was motivated enough to go through the process of asking them to show that note. And he eventually got his sister to admit that she doesn't have a written note of him expressing a suicidal intent. So this guy is pretty smart. And he gets all of his health records from the medical kidnapping event of 2015. And he sees that his sister told the psychiatrist that, hey, we have a written note. His sister and his wife told the psychiatrist that he had a written note of suicidal intent. That is what unlocks the legal right for the psychiatrist to hold him in by force. But it was a lie. It was a lie, and he asked them to show a proof of that written statement, and they don't have it. Would you destroy a little piece of paper that is of legal importance to protect you if that piece of paper revealed the suicidal intent of someone you love? You'd be absolutely crazy to destroy this. But the claim is that, oh, well, I got this written note from him. I want to commit suicide, but I burned it. Sorry. And so this is where I'm like, this guy was lied about. This guy's rights were taken over unjustly by kind of a plotting between his wife, who wanted to divorce him, and his sister. He had always treated them correctly. They lied about him having suicidal intent. And the proof of the lie is that they can't deliver the freaking written note that they claim to the psychiatrist existed. So this is where you have to be subtle in your differentiation of the paranoid delusions and the truth. I think that this is a pretty rational demonstration here. I think that this guy was lied about in the same way Britney Spears was lied about, to take over her rights, to do so through the probate courts. Now, he describes the list of lies that his wife and sister had to. He says, "I have never expressed any suicidal thought or suicidal ideations to anyone in my entire life." He says the record put him in a state of shock because he was seeing the number of lies that were needed to force hospitalize him, including the lie that he had written a suicide note for her, Stephanie, on this morning, November 26. Imagine that this was not a suicide note from 6 months ago. Imagine you have a suicide note from this morning from me, and you're carrying me to the hospital. So when is it that you burned the suicide note? When is it that she burned the suicide note, and why did she do it? She erased the evidence that would have been disculpating for her. No, I believe James Yu here. I believe that James Yu was lied about and that a fake suicide note was mentioned by his wife for the purpose of taking over his rights as part of a divorce. So, they mention a prior history of depression. Plaintiff says, James Yu says, "I've never had depression." plaintiff denies any alcohol withdrawal effect. He says he's never experienced withdrawal effect. Plaintiff denies negative for fever. So he notes that the physical records of his examination were all showing a healthy man. No respiratory distress, no shortness of breath, no cardiovascular problem, a regular heart rhythm. He only got anxious when he started realizing that he was under medical kidnapping. People are arguing in the chat. Shamrock says it's easy to lie about people in the mental health system sick. Yeah. And it's because of these lies that we find ourselves 8 years later with James Yu blowing up his house, and blowing up his house probably 4 days before he truly planned to do it. Because I think there was something, or maybe 2-3 days before he planned to make it. Because I think I saw something in his social media that was indicating of an intent to act on December 7th or 8th. So don't forget that the crackdown by the police here probably precipitated the plan of James Yu. This is the explosion that he was able to pull on an emergency measure. The explosion could have been bigger. Or I don't know what was the form of the explosion. We will know if it was maybe propane tank or if he planned to carry this explosion somewhere else. But he started throwing flares 3 days in advance to when he was planning the big action. So all in all, I find that his complaint, although it was ridiculed by the judge, because it is filled with some amount of delusions and divagation. But I think that this guy has truly been given injustice here. And there even is a case that someone else intervened to either force him to sign, or someone else signed in his place, because he doesn't even recognize his own writing in the signature, James Yu, accepting the treatment. And he said he was either extorted that signature, or that someone else may have written it, because he was eventually put on sedatives and has lost contact with whatever happened and has lost memory over about 13 hours. And one of the things that happened during this medical kidnapping is that his sister denied him access to his cell phone, and yet gave testimony and indicated on the record, someone in the hospital indicated on the record that he was regularly using his phone to communicate with the outside. That is typical of a lie that a health professional does to kind of downplay for the courts the fact that the person has been taken against their will. And throughout this whole experience, James Yu repeat in a calm manner, "I do not want to be here. You guys are taking me against my will. I do not want these treatments." And it is the job of the health professionals to say, "Hey, I'm involved into something dirty here. I'm involved with a sister and a wife who are taking over the rights of this man, and I refuse to do it." But no, instead, they get the fake signature, they kind of write his own name for him, and they say, "Oh, all you have to do is scribble here," and he doesn't even recognize the scribble. And they write in the notes, "Oh, he was regularly talking with his friends on the phone," when in fact he didn't have the phone. Those are serious lies meant at obfuscating the legal process, hiding what is really happening, which is a medical kidnapping. Those are lies, and he was right to identify those lies, and he was never given justice for these lies because he has cognitive structure of a schizophrenic. That is why I think that this guy could have been saved from doing something evil today or yesterday. Silver Spider says, "Hey, JF, my father became suicidal, refused help, and could not be advocated for against his will. Eventually got picked up by the cops and admitted into a psych ward, which was horrible too. As far as I see, there is really no good way to deal with these situations, whether or not you have rights. Well, the good way is protect yourself from an individual you think is dangerous, but do not fall into the pre-crime business of imprisoning people against their will for future hurts that haven't happened yet, because you may be wrong in pre-crime. That's the whole lesson of Minority Report. That's the whole injustice of this system. That's why we don't do pre-crime. But, I mean, in principle, we don't do pre-crime. In our society, it's all pre-crime. The vast majority of the people in prison in Canada haven't even gone through trial. And the vast majority of people in psychiatric wards have had lies told to them and are being deceived about their true rights. But James Yu didn't take shit. James Yu had propane tanks. Hermit says, I've suffered deliberate psychological abuse at the hands of the staff of mental hospitals I've been locked up in. I had no way of defending myself and no way of punishing those who inflicted it on me. It made my condition much worse and complicated my recovery. That industry can go to hell. Absolutely. Valette says, JF is on the cutting edge of reporting on medical kidnapping. Absolutely. I think you have some influencers once in a while that will do a good video about it, or they will be specialized in a given situation. I'm the only one that I know who has been constantly advocating against medical kidnapping for 8 years, for all of my public life. And this is a grave thing that we need to fix in society. People are taken against their will. Families are broken. Marriages are broken by this. We need to stop this. AN says, JF, if I feel I have developed a mental disorder, should I see a psychiatrist? If not, what's the best course of action? You have to find a psychiatrist that is trustable, and that is definitely findable. You have to find a psychiatrist that will respect you. You have to know what you could say to that psychiatrist that would lead him to take over your rights. But generally, it has to be absolutely necessary. Because in most cases, you will put yourself in some degree of probabilistic danger by exposing yourself to a psychiatrist. So ask yourself if it's really needed. If it's a small thing like anxiety, depression, you don't need a psychiatrist. This is very well done at the level of the general practitioner. If it's a small thing like this, you don't need a psychiatrist. If it's a bigger disorder, you may need a psychiatrist, but find one that is trustable and test them before you fully open yourself to them. Test if they are willing to respect your consent. Test if they have this, I am here to care for you approach, rather than I am here as a representative of the government to decide if you're a danger to society. And let me tell you, the psychiatrists that accumulate toward the psychiatric wards are more likely simply by the sorting probabilities, they're more likely to be state sympathetic because they're employees of the state at this point. They make money out of people being sent by force to them. So I'm not telling you that if you go into a random hospital and get a random psychiatrist in a psychiatric ward, that it will go against your interest. Sometimes they are very good. Sometimes they end up in hospitals and they are very good. But if you can have private service from a private clinic that operates outside of the hospital network, that just specializes in giving the right medication to people, that's the best setting. And it's someone you're going to pay for. So it's not someone who gets his money out of violating rights. John Drake says, disclaimer, I don't think JF is giving medical advice that's illegal in Canada without a license. No, exactly. I'm talking about my individual experience and what I do in terms of actions as an individual. You do whatever you like. Arlington explosion update. Suspect resident of house called US the world's biggest terrorist. So that was James Yu before he exploded. That was his house after the explosion. You can see post on his social media where he accumulates information about his neighbors. And he believes that his neighbor, typical of schizophrenia, they will choose a target and they will somehow develop a belief that this person or this family is against them and is being spies. This is my next door neighbor, currently known as Lance. He drives a white Jeep. I allege and believe he and his wife, currently known as Jamie, and two children, ages approximately 14 and 7, are spies. He also has a large black Labrador mixed dog. I believe he attended the University of Florida. So here, I would invite people not to necessarily judge this as a paranoid individual. You know, here's a guy who actually has had state interventions in his life that he interpreted as medical kidnapping and that are rationally interpretable as medical kidnapping. From the perspective of someone like this, if you are the kind of neighbor who would call the police because your neighbor acts bizarre, as far as he's concerned, and as far as I'm concerned, by the way, you're a spy. You're a spy for the state. It's not necessarily a paranoid delusion to be thinking that someone is a spy. These people, these neighbors, may very well have done things to him that gave him indication. And that will happen very often in the life of a schizophrenic. People will find ways to secretly communicate to them, hey, you're at the border here. You're worrying me. If you were to say something more in that line, I might call the police, or I might call a psychiatrist, or I might drive you to the hospital. And I believe that something like this may have happened to James Yu, which has convinced him that, okay, these people and their children, they are spies. Now, that may be the idea that a 14-year-old and a 7-year-old are spies, that is kind of delusional. But I think these delusions can be rooted in reality, and I would invite not necessarily to judge. He continues to describe his neighbors. Jamie and Lance and her two children are spies and act as buffers, collecting my information and then delivering to their handlers. This is how the ruling class stays anonymous, using buffers and handlers to absorb digital ID. Jamie drives a Tiguan. Jamie and her family have been stalking me. And he calls himself James Yu. So he talks of himself at the third person. they've been stalking James Yu since the mid-90s. This is how white people operate and have the luxury of outnumbering all other races by almost 7-1 in America. And he does the America without an A. America. In America. And so here's an example. And people say he was an anti-white guy. Certainly, he had integrated some of the leftist discourse of anti-whiteness. And, you know, he was mocking here in this sentence, he is mocking a kind of Central America, center of the US type of pronunciation. America. And he's paranoid about, he's kind of seeing the whites as having spread. This is fascinating. It's a different mindset. imagine the whites as being a kind of virus, and they have taken over all of America. And when you think about it, it's right. It's correct. Like, the whites have taken over demographically North America. They have excluded other populations in doing so. They have overbred and outnumbered the Native Americans. So you have to grant it to him, like, from the person, if you digest some of the CNN type of mediatic assumptions about whiteness, it's a fair view of what whites did. But the problem is, it's an unfair view at the planetary level. Like, at the planetary level, this guy isn't alarmed that the Koreans have taken over Korea. And so it's like, it's not fair, but it's a correct interpretation by liberal multicultural standard. So he has multiple posts on LinkedIn. I wanted to pay attention in particular to this post, where you can see a typical delusional behavior, which is thinking that the news is about you. That's a sign of schizophrenia like none others. So, main shooting, CNN's subtle hateful messaging against James Yu. And that's October 28th. So this is 1 month ago. 1 month ago, James Yu is on the internet saying, I heard some messaging against me on CNN. And in fact, they are just against me as a proxy for Asians. So it's secret anti-Asian hate being coded in an anti-James Yu message, being coded in CNN speech. So he says, see time reference 844 and headline. So the headline is, he didn't expect to be found alive. That's a comment about a shooter. So he's watching a media story about a shooting, and they say, he didn't expect to be found alive. And now he's thinking, well, 844 is the timestamp. 844 is my address on North Burlington Street. Further, they are conspiring to make James Yu's death look like 988. See Robin Williams below CNN's headline. So now there's a side clickbait publicity under the CNN headline, and it's about Robin Williams. And Robin Williams committed suicide. And the numbers 988 somehow are related to this. And 988 means James Yu, so it's me. And so they are telling me through this wording that they expect me not to be found alive. And so I have to... I'm tracing here the thinking of the schizophrenic. They expect me not to be found alive. So they're trying to do me like Robin Williams. They are encoding that I'm like Robin Williams through the numbers 988 and the timestamp 844, which is my address. Therefore, they want to make my death look like that of Robin Williams. And let me tie something here with the complaint from 2015. They lied about him having a history of depression. What happened to Robin Williams? He is said to have died through suicide due to depression. So here in his head, it's like, wow, my sister, my wife in 2015, set up a fake history of depression with me at the hospital. They lied about a suicidal note that didn't exist. They wanted to create a record that I'm going to die. And now CNN is into it. CNN is sending a code to me that says, I will die like Robin Williams. I will die by suicide. So here I think we have the mechanism that eventually leads him to decide that he wants to blow himself up. Why does he blow himself up? I'm not sure. But somehow I think he's decided at this point, I don't want to die through a depressive type of suicide. I need to go out with a boom. And I need it to have enough media exposure that it won't be James Yu being hanged in the back of a forest or whatever. It shouldn't be like Robin Williams. And so I believe that 1 month ago, in these thoughts, we have a James Yu who starts thinking about an explosion, starts thinking that if he wants to undermine the CNN attempt at getting him off with a hanging style a la Robin Williams, therefore I need to go with a bang, I need to go with flares, I need to signal to the world, hey, come here. Come here. I might die, but it's not going to be like Robin Williams. You see the signaling here that we have? And this is, it's fascinating to me that we can have that much information, that we can start laying out at least a hypothesis like this. So let's have a look at some other contributions on social media. Complaints about computer security. All software and hardware have backdoor security breaches. Purposefully built in with governments and nations spying on people. Typical of schizophrenia to be alarmed at this, although it's also a real security issue. January 6th event is rigged, orchestrated bullshit by them. They do not want an actual coup against them, so they rig, orchestrate, and control a fake January 6th event riot, and then rig trials to set fake precedents in an attempt to scare and control the people's mind. Then they spy on the people and track the people's reaction to fake January 6th event and ruin people who show even a slight hint of resistance against them. He says, they assume I'm a traitor. I was sped by the US government. I doubt America and the DOD changed their network security architecture since my CFI US days around 2003. But Checkpoint Security, an Israeli-based company, firewalls and security products are deeply entrenched throughout America and DOD's network, including the internet. This is not a secret. All right. And here, look at him. 7th of December, smile, shh. A very important note on his YouTube comment section. 7th of December 2023, that is in 2 days from now. 7th of December 2023, shh, silence. Either he had a plan for something that would happen after his death, or he knows that something is coming, and it's still coming in 2 days from now. Because 7th of December is 2 days from now, and his whole plan or his whole explosion happened 3 days before. And someone asked, what happens that day? And no answer was given. Help me spread the word. US government is the biggest terrorist organization on earth. And today, the police has confirmed that the remains have been identified as those of James Yu in the explosion. It's a little fast to get DNA results within 24 hours, but you can get identification through dentist pictures. The police really like to contact your dentist when you die like this. and they can very quickly have a positive identification with the jaw structure. I would suspect that's what they've been using. Or a quick DNA test, but I don't know. I think it takes a little more than 24 hours for a DNA test, especially if you're going to be collecting body pieces from an explosion that otherwise blew a whole house. The LinkedIn account of James Yu was containing similar complaints. He was defining himself as a landlord. He planned budget for landlord organizations, by contract, and before that, he was working in security, computer security, and analysis. And that is it. That is the story of James Yu. So I will lay out my conclusion, and then it's going to be the end of the show. James Yu was a schizophrenic or schizoid personality, was creating worries in his surrounding about this. However, I believe that this is a man, we could build a society in which someone like James Yu doesn't end up being blown up by himself. And that kind of society is a society where we don't trigger the otherwise irrational fears of schizophrenics by enacting actual violations of their rights. The fact is, this guy was ready to live alone, have his opinion on computer security and government corruption, and it could have stood there. But we have allowed him to develop a paranoid delusion around violations of his rights because we have violated his rights. Because his sister and his wife violated his rights. And if it wasn't of that event in 2015, I believe we don't have a James Yu thinking, they're ready to lie about me. I believe we don't have a James Yu thinking, they could put me back in the psychiatric ward at any point. I think we don't have a James Yu watching CNN and saying, oh my God, CNN is in bed with my wife, my sister, and the government, and they're coming after me, and the legal system is against me. And if he had justice for the things that were done against his consent, we might have a James Yu that says, you know, there are redeeming qualities in this system. They did violate my rights, but they gave me reparation. But he couldn't get this. All he could get is a judge who laughs at his complaint and says, this is all paranoid stuff. None of this matters. And so we have a very unfair system here that says, if you're schizophrenic, everything that you'll ever say is false. And we have to change this. We have to change it so that the system can go only after people for hurting others, but cannot go after people because they're afraid of future crimes you may commit, cannot go after people for being different, and cannot go after people for having a cognition that is not like theirs. And certainly, we have to find a way that the people around someone do not have overwhelming power on their rights. Because you may think it's less of a violation of your rights if it's not the state doing it alone, but it's your wife, and it's your sister, and it's your mother. But the fact is, it's a greater violation. Because you are giving power in the current probate court system, you are giving power to the people who have the most interest at fucking you up. And if you have a slightly different brain that says, that takes issue with small violations and that interprets any detail in line with these violations, a schizophrenic mind of the kind of James Yu, it doesn't take much to set you off. We have to change the legal system of probate court. We have to eliminate the currently standing system, completely abolish all statutory authority given to psychiatrists. They have special rights to violate constitutional rights, and this has to end because they are doing so in conspiracy with our loved ones, in conspiracy with the people who are supposed to be our loved ones, but who sometimes make a bad call or make a call based on a malicious intention to hurt us. and there shouldn't be such tools. The police is extremely competent. I've rarely seen police unjustifiably bring someone to the psychiatric ward, but I've seen countless times of family members doing it. There shouldn't be a way to take over your rights if you've not hurt anyone. And the explosive situation of yesterday is a result of the fact that there is. That is it for tonight, boys. Thank you for being with me. And I will be, basically, the whole show will be a clip on Twitter tonight. Thank you for being here. Much love. And I'll see you all tomorrow. Thank you.